Amen.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Once again, joyfully, we are in the presence of God. Hallelujah. Okay, we will continue. Let's open our Bibles. And we will continue on the spirit of Mammon. All right, we have come a long way. I'm not going to any recap. I don't have time because I have to go ahead with this revelation or with this sermon. So we ended on pride. Mammon is pride. And then we saw what are the characteristics of pride. And we saw the people who were attached with Mammon, how they were all proud. Okay. So pride is one of the main factors where Hezekiah opened the door for Mammon, for Babylon to come in. And that is how it came in the house of God. Mammon came in the house of God. Babylon, by the way, I told you in the beginning of the sermon that Mammon is the god over Babylon. Even the spirit of Antichrist will operate through the strength of Mammon. Hallelujah. You have to understand, believers, there are two sources to live on earth. When Jesus said, Matthew's chapter number 6, verse 24, that you cannot serve God and Mammon. Either be loyal to one and not loyal to the another. You cannot serve two masters together. So there are two superpowers. Now, the way these two superpowers rule is by the source that they provide to human beings to live. What God provides human beings to live is not money. What God provides to human being to live is the word of God. What Mammon provides, the source for human beings to live, is Mammon, money, material wealth. That is why the first temptation that came to Jesus, when the devil came to tempt him, he said, if you are the Son of God, turn the stones into bread. But Jesus quoted from the Old Testament and he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, in Luke chapter number 4. So in that scripture that he quoted, Jesus reveals the two sources of living with which men can live on earth. Believers, let us come back to the revelation that money is not the source of our living. The word of God is the source of our living. Everyone say that, even after that we will proceed. The word of God is the source of my living. The word of God. The
word of God is the source of my living.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, if you have that understanding, it does not matter about the material wealth you carry, or even if there is nothing or very less. If you have that revelation that the word of God is the source of my living, you will live a godly life. You will live a spirit life. You will live a life that is secured by the protection of God. Okay, let's go to that scripture even as we start tonight. Luke chapter number 4. Luke chapter number 4, verse number 4. But Jesus answered him and saying, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Where it is written? That is written in Deuteronomy chapter number 8, verse number 3. Let's see from where Jesus is taking that scripture. Deuteronomy chapter number 8, verse number 3. Deuteronomy chapter number 8. Verse number 3. So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Hallelujah. See, you see that? So Moses is teaching the people of God that when you came out of Egypt, dear people of Israel, he allowed you to hunger. He allowed that you shall not eat from what the land is producing. He allowed that you shall not carry any food baskets from Egypt here to the wilderness. He instructed those things to you for a reason, because when you came out of Egypt, he wanted to make you realize that apart from the system on which you depended in the land of Egypt, apart from mammon on which you are dependent for your living and considered as the source of living, there is another source that I, Jehovah, will give you, that is my word. That is what Moses is teaching the people of Israel. You see that verse number 3, let me read that again. He is saying to the people of Israel, so listen to me very carefully. So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So God wants to teach his people, there is another source, my beloved children, apart from mammon. That is my source. That is my word with which you shall live. A Christian never lives by mammon. Hallelujah. Even though we handle mammon, I will come to that, how to treat mammon. Hallelujah. If I have time, I will come to how to treat mammon. I will step into that revelation. But we have to understand the source of God for our livelihood is his word. There is no money in it. There is no mammon in it. So you will say, oh, brother, that means we should. No, I'm not saying that. Our dependence shall not be on mammon. Our attachment of our soul shall not be with money, shall not be with my salary. I worked in the corporate before I stepped into full-time ministry. I worked for continuous 9 years. Without any break, all the shifts and all those stuff. But even though I was working there, my livelihood, my attachment, my dependence was on the word. Hallelujah. So Christians don't realize that God wants to teach the people of Israel, God wants to teach his children that my source for your living is the word. That is what he was teaching the people of Israel. And for that, what he allowed, Moses said he allowed you to be hungry. He allowed you to wait. He allowed that you may not get some things. You know, don't blame the devil every time you go through a lack. You go through some hunger. It may be the training of God in your life to teach you that it's not that thing that you want. It's my word that will give you life. It's my word that will bring what you need in your life. It's my word. It's my word. It's my word. Hallelujah. Read your whole Bible. Read your whole Bible. If God wants to bless you with material things, he will not drop down dollars from heaven in your bank account. What he will do is, listen to me. Like the bank system we have, okay? There are currencies in your bank. So everything depends upon the how much money is there in the bank. The bank can give loans to people, give benefits, give insurance and this and that. So that is the storehouse of bank, full of currency notes. Okay, so that is the system of the bank. That is the system of mammon. But if you see at the system of God, when we talk about the storehouse that is there in heaven, there is a storehouse in heaven. I don't have time to show you, because the priest of heaven, who was not born out of a woman's womb, he was there in heaven, Melchizedek. He collected the tithes from Abraham to take it in the storehouse of God. And then there are scripture when it says we sow in God's kingdom, it goes in the storehouse of God. But the currency that runs the system of God, it's the word of God that proceeds out of God's mouth. That is the currency that runs the kingdom of God. Are we understanding? So if you lay claim If you pray to God and tell God, what, you know what, God, I need this. What God, the currency that he will supply to you is the word. And it will not be a material thing. Are we understanding that? Hallelujah. For example, if you go to the bank and tell the bank, you know what, I want to buy a house because of which I want a loan. The currency that the bank will provide, if you are in the US, it will be the US dollars. If you are in India, it will be Indian rupees. That is the currency of your bank. It may be dollars, it may be rupees or whatever. Take the rupees, take the dollars, or take whatever currency is there, Naira or whatever in Nigeria, and go and buy what you want. So that is the currency that the bank will supply to you. So when you go to God and ask for something, the currency that he will give to you is a word. It's not US dollars. Are we understanding that? So, hallelujah. So you have to receive the word. Then when you start to act upon that word, it will produce the things that you need. Hallelujah. Are we understanding that? Amen. So God is not a direct giver of currency. If you want from the devil, he will give you currency notes. He will give you direct. He will not give you any word. Are we understanding? So many of the songs, not in the US, but in India, that is sung that God gave me this material wealth, that material. It's unbiblical, because what God gives is the currency that he provides to me is the word. Is the word. The word comes first. And when I act upon the word starts to manifest. The promises starts to manifest. Christians are not aware about that, because we are heavily influenced by the system of mammon. So we go to God and say, God, give me so much of money. What God will give you will not never give you money. What God will give you is a word. When you act upon the word, the money you need will come, or the providence you need will come, or the breakthrough you need will come. I don't have time to show you that when Elijah went and prophesied to Ahab, and after that, God gave him a word. He said, go to the brook of Cherith. That was the word. When he obeyed that word, he went to the brook of Cherith. There he got water. There ravens came and fed him. So if you want to receive from the hand of God, you need to step into the place or into the word where God has told you to step in. And when you go into that place, the providence of God will come. Elijah, if he said, no, I am here in the palace, Lord, provide me here. No, if he did not obey God, the providence would not come. Are we understanding that? When the brook of Cherith dried up, God said, go to the widow of Zarephath. A word came to Elijah. God did not drop bread from heaven there. Go to the widow of Zarephath. There I have commanded that widow to feed you. Okay, Elijah went, obeyed the word. He went there. Are we understanding that? So the currency of God's system is the word. Hallelujah. But Christians are impatient. So who will receive word, act on the word? We want things fast. So let's go to a prophet who can just prophesy and I get a car. Let's go to a prophet who can just prophesy, I get a breakthrough. You know, I get something. You are going to the system of mammon, which will provide you things, material wealth, without the word. The word is out of the picture. If you are the son of God, immediately turn the stones into bread. But Jesus said, no. I am in the system of God, not in your system, mammon. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? Let's go to mammon is pride. Hallelujah. Pride brings spiritual leprosy. One of the things that pride will bring in a person is spiritual leprosy. And that spiritual leprosy will make the person heavily depend on mammon and not on God. Heavily depend on the riches of the world and not on God. Because the person, because of pride, opened the door. And when mammon comes in, it makes the person a spiritual leper. There are many examples in the Bible. What is leprosy? Leprosy is insensitiveness to pain. no feeling of pain. You understand that? Leprosy is insensitiveness to pain. That is the physical leprosy. Even the spiritual leprosy is insensitiveness to pain, to prick or whatever. No sensation whatsoever of pain. So a person who is in a state of leprosy, God cannot mend him. He is too hard for God to mend him. Because if God tries to do something, he is insensitive to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. He is insensitive to the conviction or to the pain when he sins. He does not sense the convictions or the pain that the Holy Spirit wants to bring in his heart when he sins against the Lord. That is spiritual leprosy. And the root cause of spiritual leprosy is pride. Let's now go to the scriptures. Numbers chapter number 12. Numbers chapter number 12. Verse number 1. Then Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. So they said, has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us also? And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very humble, more than all men who were on the face of the earth. Suddenly the Lord said to Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, come out, you three, to the tabernacle of meeting. So the three came out. Then the Lord came down in the pillar of cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam. And they both went forward. Then he said, hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak to him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. I speak with him face to face, even plainly and not in dark saying. Hallelujah. And he sees the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? So the anger of the Lord arose against them, and he departed. And when the cloud departed from above the tabernacle, suddenly Miriam became leprous, as white as snow. Then Aaron turned toward Miriam, and there she was a leper. So Aaron said to Moses, oh my Lord, please do not lay this sin on us, in which we have done foolishly and in which we have sinned. Please do not let her be as one dead whose flesh is half consumed when he comes out of his mother's womb. So Moses cried out to the Lord, saying, please heal her, O God, I pray. Then the Lord said to Moses, if her father had spit in her face, would she not be shamed 7 days? Let her be shut out of the camp 7 days, and afterward she may be received. So Miriam was shut out of the camp 7 days. And the people did not journey till Miriam was brought in again. Okay, hallelujah. So that is leprosy. Why was Miriam struck by leprosy? It was because of pride. And the characteristic of pride she had was, God speaks to Moses, God also speaks to us. You know, we also hear from God. So why is Moses so important? Why is he like the own sister of Moses? You see, we were talking about family members coming against each other. Here is an example of the own blood sister, Miriam, the sister of Moses, coming against Moses because she got proud. She started to consider that God also speaks to us. He does not only speak to Moses, and all sorts of things, because of which she was struck with leprosy. One of the examples why leprosy comes, it comes because of pride. When she was a leper, she had to be put out of the camp of God's people. And when so why? We will see that every leprosy case in the scripture, God took them through a very not cruel in not cruel in God's eyes in the spirit realm, but cruel in man's eyes. God took them through a cruelsome process so that they can be humbled down and the leprosy can leave them. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? It is humility that will drive out spiritual leprosy. Remember when Hezekiah was sentenced to death by the Lord? I told you it was a kind of leprosy, a kind of skin disease. He was not allowed to enter the house of God. He humbled himself. He cried to the Lord. His heart was humbled before the Lord. As soon as he humbled before the Lord, God released another word that you shall be healed. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? So as soon as God detects pride in us, he will use means, sometimes things that will also put us down, to remove that the spiritual leprosy that has struck us so that we might be healed of it. Are we understanding? Hallelujah. So that is leprosy. Let me take you to another example. 2 Kings chapter number 5. Another leper. His name is Naaman. Another proud man. 2 Kings chapter number 5. And let's skip. Naaman was a very, very powerful commander of the army of Syria. Okay. And he was a mighty warrior. But the problem with him was he was a leper. And let us see 2 Kings chapter number 5, verse number 8. So it was when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, that he sent to the king saying, "Why have you torn your clothes? Please let him come to me and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." Then Naaman went with his horse and chariot and he stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him saying, "Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times and your flesh shall be restored to you and you shall be clean." But Naaman became furious. Okay. And went away and said, "Indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord and Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy." So this guy Naaman was leprous. Listen to me. Now we will see through Naaman's example, especially the leprosy, the pride, and the mammon. The leprosy, the pride, and the mammon are all connected together. A man who is pride is a man who is attached with mammon, and the man who is attached with mammon is a man who is a spiritual leper. Now, Naaman wanted healing, but he wanted healing with honor to himself. But Elisha did not give him honor. Elisha did not even come out to see him. He sent his servant and said, "Do this and you will be healed." So Naaman was furious because he did not got attention that he wanted. Hallelujah. And he thought Elisha would come out, call on the name of the Lord, he expected some gimmicks to happen and then he will get healed. But he did not receive the healing in the way he wanted because he was pride. Sometimes the things you expect in a way that you want it to happen, it will not, God will not do that in that way, because before he gives you the healing, he wants to deal with your pride. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? So you expect a thing, you expect a healing, you expect a breakthrough to come in a certain way, but it will never come in that way because God wants to deal with mammon. God wants to deal with pride in you or pride in me. Before he deals with the healing, before he deals with the sickness. So sickness is not so dangerous as pride is dangerous. So God, for in God's eyes, if you are sick and you have pride, he will say, "Keep the sickness aside. Let me deal with pride because it's so dangerous for him. Let me deal with the pride." He expected some self-attention to happen. Elisha did not do that because he was a man who walked with God. He was a spiritual minded man. So he wouldn't do things without the leading of the Holy Spirit. So before he came, that is what he did. Go and ask him to dip in the Jordan 7 times and he will be healed. But he did not wanted to do that, because he said, this guy did not come out to meet me. This guy did not come out to lay hands or whatever, raise his hands. And he was furious. Let's go ahead. Verse number 12. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. He did not want to do that. And his servants came near and spoke to him and said, my father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more then when he says to you, wash and be clean? The servants of this man Naaman were wise enough to advise him the right thing. Now listen to me. What the servants would go with Naaman. The servants would follow Naaman. If he wants to make a trip, he goes to war, they will carry his weaponry. So they were there with Naaman. They knew how this guy was. And see what they said to Naaman. Okay? They said to Naaman that, my father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, haven't you have done that great thing? But this is a simple thing he told you. So why not do that thing? That means they knew his mindset. They knew his behavior. And he expect, if a blessing would come to him, he expects the blessing to come in a great way. You know, in a mighty way. That the limelight will be on me. People will watch me. People will appreciate me. And this will happen. Oh, Naaman got healed. Oh, Naaman is a great man. So Elisha came out and took pictures with him, collaborated with him, and this and that. Naaman, oh, wow, wow, wow. And all those things that he expected, great things to happen. But God works in humble and simple ways sometimes. Do we understand that? Hallelujah. God works. And they said, this is a simple thing that he told you to do. Why don't you do that simple thing? Hallelujah. Our expectations is the lights, is the camera, is the attention, is this should happen, that should happen. I'm telling you, many Christians think that way. Many Christians who want to do ministry, they are looking at ministry as a great thing. Oh, I will travel to places, people will honor me, I will have big crusades, people will love me, but I am telling you, God wants to introduce humble and simple ways to you. Are we understanding? Where many people would not admire, watch, but what he will do is deal with your pride. Hallelujah. People, are you there? Apart from those on the screen, can you say amen? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. We have to understand the ways of God, beloved. That is what I want to tell you. So that is what these guys, small guys around Naaman, told him. You know, you are a person, if he would have said something great, you would have done it. Why don't you perform this simple thing that he has told you to do? Simple, a humble thing. Okay, he listened to them. Verse number 14. So he went down, dipped 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. You see, sometimes you don't need the prayer of the prophet. What you need is bow down. What you need is get down on your knees. What you need is humility. What you need is submission to God. There was not a healing ministry that healed him here. Okay? Like the crusades. You know, oh, I got healed and all those stuff. That did not bring healing to him. What brought healing to him when he humbled himself before the he obeyed the Lord. He dipped. Naaman is a very proud man, by the way. I don't have time to take you in the background of Naaman. He won wars for the king of Syria. He was respected. He's the hero. And it is very difficult for such a man to go in a foreign nation and to get down on his knees in that foreign nation. And that too in the river of the foreign nation. That's why he was taking pride in the river of his country, not in the river of Israel, that is the river Jordan. So it's very difficult for that man to get down. But God made him get down because something that he wants, mammon does not has it. It is only with God. The healing that he wants, mammon cannot give that healing to him. So mammon can give you money, mammon can give you fame, but mammon cannot give you many things that God can give you. So if you want to come and receive from this system of God, you need to submit to the system, humble yourself down. You cannot come and say, I am the agent of mammon, I have this, I have that. So you come and, no, God is not like that. God will make you bow down before, submit. And then there are two systems that you see here. Hallelujah. You know, nowadays the videos come. You say money cannot buy happiness, and then they show the videos, big things. You see money can. No. There are things, so many things in the list I can give you that mammon cannot give a person. And when the person is in need of those things, they have to come to God. Only God can give them those things. So he had to dip in the river of Jordan. If he did not submit to the system of God, did not humble himself to the word of God and obeyed the word of God, this system is not going to provide for him. So the proud Naaman was humbled. Hallelujah. When he humbled himself, obeyed the word of the Lord through the prophet Elisha, he was healed. He received the healing from God, which mammon did not had in store to give him. Do we look at that? Okay. Verse number 18. But what about his mammon? What about his mammon? And he returned to the man of God, he and all his aides, and came and stood before him. And he said, indeed, now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. Now, therefore, please take a gift from your servant. But he said, that means Elisha, as the Lord lives before whom I stand, I will receive nothing. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. So Naaman said, then if not, please let your servant be given two mules loads of earth, for your servant will no longer offer either burnt offering or sacrifice to other gods, but to the Lord. But then he says, yet in this thing, that the Lord may, the Lord pardon your servant, when my master goes into the temple of Rimmon to worship there, and he leans on my hand, and I bow down in the temple of Rimmon, when I bow down in the temple of Rimmon, may the Lord please pardon your servant in this thing. So he said, I received the healing. Take this money, Elisha. Elisha said, I don't want anything from you. So please go away. But he said, please at least take two mules of loads of earth. Then he revealed his heart. The reason why he was giving money, because he was an agent of mammon. And I told you, the agents of mammon are heavily based on transactional relationships. Transactional relationships. That I give you this, you give me this. I give you this, you give me this. I give you that, you give me this. So he said, at least take two mules loads of earth. Because you know what, prophet? I am going to worship the Lord and no other gods, except when my master goes to the temple of Rimmon and he leans on my hand, on my shoulder, that I also bow down to Rimmon. So I will not leave worshipping one god, other gods I will not worship. And so let not the leprosy come back. So take this gift. You know what? Take this gift. So that's why he was trying to give an offering to buy back permanent healing. You know, it should not. So please let your Lord pardon me. You know what? When I again go back and submit to this gods and all those stuff. But Elisha would not take his money, because the money was the currency that carried his leprosy. The money was the currency that carried his leprosy. So Elisha would not take the money. The money was, the wealth that he had was the cause of his leprosy. So Elisha would not take the leprosy. God was gracious enough, because he came, obeyed the word of the Lord. God gave healing as a gift. Even though he will not stay in the system of God, God gave him the healing as a gift. to him. Hallelujah. But yet now he is trying to buy the forgiveness of God. But Elisha said, no. You know, I don't want anything. So you go away. Verse number 19. Then he said to him, go in peace. So he departed from him a short distance. But Gehazi, now see that. Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, look, my servant, my master, look, my master has spared Naaman the Syrian while not receiving from his hands what he brought. But as the Lord lives, I will run after him and take something from him. So Gehazi pursued Naaman. When Naaman saw him running after him, he got down from the chariot to meet him and said, is all well? And he said, all is well. My master has sent me saying, indeed, just now two young men of the sons of the prophets have come to me from the mountains of Ephraim. Please give them a talent of silver and two changes of garments. So Naaman said, please take two talents. And he urged him and bound two talents of silver in two bags with two changes of garments and handed them to two of his servants. And they carried him on ahead of him. When he came to the citadel, he took them from their hand and stored them away in the house. And he let the men go and they departed. Now he went in and stood before his master Elisha. And Elisha said to him, where did you go, Gehazi? And he said, your servant did not go anywhere. Then he said to him, did not my heart go with you when the man turned back from his chariot to meet you? Is it time to receive money and to receive clothing, olive groves and vineyards, sheep, oxen, male and female servants? Therefore, the leprosy of Naaman shall cling to you and your descendants forever. And he went out from his presence leprous, as white as snow. Hallelujah. So the leprosy of Naaman was there. Even when Naaman got healed, his leprosy still existed. Where did it exist? It was there in his mammon. And when that mammon was taken by this Gehazi, the leprosy through the currency of mammon got transferred to Gehazi. Are we understanding that? So in this example of Naaman, you see pride, you see mammon, and you see leprosy. Hallelujah. Listen to me. So the wealth that mammon gives to people and tells people that this is the source of your livelihood, that wealth that he gives to people comes with leprosy. That's why when Jesus stepped into Zacchaeus' house, and Zacchaeus was a tax collector, but not a good tax collector. He would cheat people. He would draw from people. But as soon as Jesus stepped into Zacchaeus' house, Jesus never gave him any teaching. But Zacchaeus stood up and said, all the money, all mammon, I have cheated. I will restore it. And then something multiple more times, I will give it. I will lend it to the poor. Because he did not say, I will give it to your ministry, Jesus. No, he said, I know what kind of mammon is this. So I will give it away. I will restore it back to other people. Are we understanding? The wealth that comes from mammon and not from God carries spiritual leprosy. How much ever you pray in tongues, rasa taka barada, how much ever you pray, but you will be still insensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit, because you are spiritually leper, because you are spiritually leprous, because there is the wealth, unrighteous wealth that you hold with you. Unrighteous wealth that you have received from idols, that you have received from deities. Hallelujah. I am telling you, a man who is rich in the world, if he accepts Jesus, at the cost of losing all the wealth that came from the God mammon, he will be made and brought down to zero level by Jesus. And then Jesus will build him up afresh. Hallelujah. That's why when the rich young ruler came to Jesus and he said, Jesus, you know what? I have obeyed all the commandment. What is that? Pride. I am trying to show you pride, mammon, leprosy goes together. Leprosy, spiritual leprosy, okay? Insensitiveness. So this guy came to Jesus and said, I have obeyed all the commandments, Jesus. What to do? Jesus said, okay, this commandment. Yes, yes, I have obeyed it. And then, okay, one thing is, you know, required from you. The wealth that you have, give it, sell it everything. Your mammon, sell everything. Your material wealth, sell everything. Give it to the poor. Then you will be able to follow me. Be a part of the system that I am creating. Be a part of the kingdom that I am in. But the Bible says he could not do it. And then Jesus said, as hard as it is for a camel to enter through the hole of a needle, so it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. It's the words of Jesus, beloved. I am teaching the words of Jesus. And I am telling you, I told you in the beginning, you will not scarcely see any pastor exposing mammon. They will not do it. For someone to expose mammon, first of all, God will not give him a revelation like me. He will put him into the lifestyle, teach him for many years, and then he will make that person eligible to teach this sermon. Hallelujah. If I did not live that lifestyle, understood the systems of God heavily and completely understood that the word of God is my currency, I would not have been able to preach the sermon. All that Jesus began to do and to teach. Hallelujah. And many pastors will not be able to teach because there are many areas where they have not understood that mammon has a hold on them. Pride is there in their hearts. Spiritual leprosy is there. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? You know, believers have questions nowadays. I am praying so much. There are so many. This is the one common doubt that believers have. They come to me. Well, brother, I have fasted for 21 days. Well, brother, I went on 40 days fast with that church, with that ministry. But still, I am not able to hear from God. How much ever you fast, you pray in tongues, you all do all spiritual gimmicks, but you will still be a spiritual leper, insensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit, because mammon has a hold. Because pride exists. Hallelujah. Mammon was there. The Naaman got healed, but the leprosy was still there. Where it was there? In the money of Naaman. In the money that he had. So he was healed, but he was not made whole. In the case of Zacchaeus, he was made whole with salvation that came to his house. Jesus said, salvation has come to this house. He is on his way to the promised land, to heaven. He is going to be with God if he continues in this attitude, in this mindset. As soon as Jesus stepped in, he said, I will give all that I've cheated, because I know something convicted him. And he said, I will give it away because I want to continue to hear this Lord Jesus Christ. I don't want to be insensitive. Hallelujah. Do we understand spiritual leprosy now? Okay. Pride is the cause of spiritual leprosy. Pride is the cause of spiritual leprosy. We will see another scripture. Let's go to another scripture. Hallelujah. Let's go to a scripture where a man was prospered by God. Man was prospered by God. In 2 Chronicles chapter number 26. 2 Chronicles. Hallelujah. Chapter number 26. Have you heard about King Uzziah or Uzziah? Okay, that is there in 2 Chronicles chapter number 26. Let's read from verse number 1. Okay. Now all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king instead of his father Amaziah. He built Elath and restored it to Judah after the king rested with his fathers. Uzziah was 16 years old when he became king, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jecoliah of Jerusalem, and he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah had done. He sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. Hallelujah. This is a guy who did not worship mammon. This is a guy who worshiped God. He walked in the word of the Lord and God prospered him. Hallelujah. Now, he went out and made war against the Philistines and broke down the wall of Gath, the wall of Jabna, the wall of Ashdod, and he built cities around Ashdod and among the Philistines. God helped him against the Philistines, against the Arabians who lived in Gurbal, and against Munites. Also, the Ammonites brought tribute to Uzziah. His fame spread as far as the entrance of Egypt, for he became exceedingly strong. So he was becoming prosperous. He was becoming famous. Who did it? God did it for him because he walked with God. Okay. Also, he built towers in the desert. He dug many wells for he had much livestock, both in the lowlands and in the plains. He also had farmers and vine dressers in the mountains and in Carmel, for he loved the soil. Moreover, Uzziah had an army of fighting men who went out to war by companies, according to the number on their roll as prepared by Jael the scribe and Maaseiah the officer under the hand of Hananiah, one of the king's captains. The total number of chief officers of the mighty men of valor was 2,600, and under their authority was an army of 307,500 that made war with mighty power to help the king against the enemy. So he had favor all around. People would work for him. And he was famous, he was prosperous. Then Uzziah prepared for them, for the entire army, shields, spears, helmets, body armor, bows, and slings to cast stones. And he made devices in Jerusalem, invented by skillful men, to be on the towers and the corners, to shoot arrows and large stones. So his fame spread far and wide, for he marvelously helped till he became strong. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God by entering the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So this is another example where a man was not proud in the beginning. But when God started to bless this man, make him prosperous, give him wealth, okay, and make him famous, pride entered his heart. Hallelujah. That is why people who are too precious for God, before he gives them fame, before he gives them wealth, before he gives them prosperity, he will make them realize or he will make them dead towards the things of the world. And when they become dead towards the things of the world, and after that, when God starts to make them prosperous, the prosperity and the fame does not goes up to their head and makes them proud. Hallelujah. Thank God that you are not prosperous in the things of the world until now, because he wants to make you dead, first of all, to those things, and then when he gives you those things, you will be like Apostle Paul. He said, when I am having in abundance, I can live with that. When I am in having lack, I can live with that. I have learned to live in every situation. I am not attached to any fame that people give me. I am not attached to any position that the world offers me. I am not attached to any luxury that I can get with mammon. If it is there, I have been given that. I praise God for that. Even if it is not there, I will praise God for that. So I have no attachment to things whatsoever. But when you start to get prosperous and you start to receive things from God, you turn your face from God and get attached to things that mammon starts to offer you, things that the world gives you, you know, the things that God has given you because you walked in the word of the Lord. And then it goes to the head of people, like it went to Uzziah, and he said, I am prosperous, I am famous, I can do whatever I want. So he entered the temple to burn the incense, which was not his job. It was the job of the priest. A king cannot do that. But he said, I will take over everything because I am now a very prominent man. No, 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 no. God has made you prominent. God has made you prominent. So you cannot take over everything in the kingdom of God. You cannot take over everything in the kingdom of God. There are servants of God that poke their nose into everything in the kingdom of God. I am the head. Whatever I tell you, do like in the Sunday school. Whatever I tell you, do in this, do in that, do in this, do in that, do in this. They will not let people do anything, but they will be the controller of everything. That is what Uzziah was trying to do. He said, I will also be in the temple. I will do this also. He got proud. The Bible says, and when he got proud, the Bible says, okay, let's skip all those things. He entered the temple. The priest stopped him in verse number 18 and 19 and then verse number 20. And Azariah, the chief priest, and all the priests looked at him. And there on his forehead, he was leprous. See, leprosy came. Why it came? Because he got proud. Why he got proud? Because he got attached to, instead of continuing to submit to God and depend on God, he got attached to the blessings that God gave him. Those mammon and material wealth. So he got proud, and all the priests looked at him. He was leprous on his forehead. He was leprous, and they thrust him out of that place. Indeed, he also hurried to get out because the Lord had struck him. As soon as a person get leprous, he gets out of the presence of God. You see that? Miriam was casted out. So leprosy is a disease where people are not allowed to come in the presence of God because they have become insensitive to God. Another example of spiritual leprosy. Hallelujah. Those who depend on mammon, those who have the expectation of mammon, these are the common characteristics you will see in them, pride and leprosy, because the god of mammon itself is a very proud spirit. Very proud spirit. Let's go there. Babylon is pride, the proud harlot. Isaiah chapter number 47, verse number 15. Isaiah chapter number 47, verse number 15. Isaiah 47, verse number 15. Thus shall they... Okay. Isaiah 47. Let's look at verse number 5. Verse number 5. Okay. Sit in silence and go into darkness, O daughter of Chaldeans, for you shall no longer be called the lady of kingdoms. I was angry with my people. I have profaned my inheritance and given them into your hand. You showed them no mercy. On the elderly you laid your yoke very heavily. And you said, I shall be a lady forever, and that you did not take these things to heart, nor remember the later of them. Therefore, hear this now. You who are given to pleasures, who dwell securely, who say in your heart, I am and there is no one else besides me. You shall not sit as a widow, nor shall I know the loss of children. But these two things shall come to you. In a moment, in one day, the loss of children and widowhood, they shall come upon you in their fullness because of the multitude of your sorceries, for the great abundance of your enchantments. Okay, and then you can read ahead. I don't have time. This spirit of Babylon, that is the harlot of Babylon, what she says? She says that I am the lady of kingdoms. I am, and there is no one else besides me. You see that? Verse number 8. I am. Who says that? God says, I am who I am. So this spirit over Babylon, which is Mammon, she's also called a harlot. And she is very proud. She is very proud. She is very arrogant. Okay? And then when we are proud, we don't know when we are proud, like Uzziah became proud, okay? Miriam became proud. We think pride is just a sin. Pride is not a sin. Pride is a characteristic and a behavior of an ancient spirit called Mammon, called harlot of Babylon, called the god of Babylon. So when we When we become, so every sin, I don't have time. One of the sin is pride. When we become proud, we think it's just a sin. But I want to give you a revelation that pride is not, is a sin. But something is there to a sin, to beyond it being a sin. It is a characteristic and a behavior of an ancient spirit. So when we become proud, we are manifesting an ancient spirit. That is a harlot spirit. That is also called Jezebel, different names and all those stuff. We are manifesting a characteristic of an ancient spirit. We are aligning to that spirit. So whatever that spirit does, even as we manifest the characteristic, we start to do those stuff. We start to, and you see how proud this spirit is? It says, I am the lady of kingdoms. I am no widow. I am, and there is no besides me. So it will be I. We don't know. We are aligning with the ancient spirit. That spirit, if you can see the seriousness of sin. And Jesus came to die for those sins. What are sins? Sins are alignment to the characteristics and the behavior of spirits. Do we understand that? Hallelujah. Let me show you another verse in the book of Revelation, chapter number 18, verse number 7. Revelation chapter number 18, verse number 7. This is all about Babylon. Chapter number 18, Revelation 18 is all about Babylon. Revelation 17 is all about Babylon. I will come to the scriptures when I come to the system of Mammon. But Revelation chapter number 18, verse number 7. In the measure that she glorified herself and lived luxuriously, in the same measure give her torment and sorrow. For she says in her heart, I sit as queen, I am no widow, and will not see sorrow. The same things that Isaiah prophesies about Babylon, the same things are there in Revelation that John writes about this spirit. This is an ancient spirit which is very proud. I am a queen. I am like no others. Others should serve me. I will not do any job. And you will see those spirit. You will see the characteristic of that spirit manifesting nowadays in people. I see the characteristic of that spirit manifesting now in even Christians' life. I will not do anything. People should serve me. People should do things for me. I am a queen. I am this. I am that. Never call yourself as queen. Never call any pastor, lady pastor, a queen mother. Never call that. Never call that. Those are demonic things. You know that, right? That people call, oh, she's the queen mother. No queen mother in God's kingdom. No queen mother in God's kingdom. It's in the Babylonian kingdom. It's in the Mammon kingdom. I don't remember, I don't have time to go to that verse, but I remember reading in the Bible that one of the kings positioned his mother, one of the king of Judah or Israel, I don't remember, positioned his mother as a queen mother. Because he used to worship other gods. And as per that, he positioned the mother as a queen mother. Those are demonic stuff. I am a princess. I am this, the princess of... You are not a princess of God. What? You are not the queen for God. You are a daughter of God. Keep it simple. You are a daughter of God. So things should come to me. People should serve me. This and that. Those are Babylonian characteristics. Okay, the spirit of Babylon is proud. So as soon as we manifest pride in our lives, the spirit starts to have ways and foothold to come and start to inhibit the characteristic of the spirit and work through us. That is the spirit of Babylon. Are we understanding that, people of God? Hallelujah. So with pride, yes, comes money, but with that money comes spiritual leprosy, insensitiveness to God. Because of that pride. Okay. Hallelujah. We will go there afterwards. But now I want to come to how to treat and handle Mammon. How to treat and handle Mammon. Let me give you a gist and then we will stop. This is a very important subject that people don't know how to treat and handle Mammon. Because after the many people are afraid, oh, you know what, I don't want to hear that sermon because it will make me, I have to stay poor, I have to stay without, no. Jesus gives us material wealth, but he teaches us how to handle it. At the beginning of the sermon, I taught about the parables of Jesus on how to handle mammon. I will not go into that, but God will give us wisdom, skills, understanding, and direction to handle mammon and live in God's richness, being loyal to him. Okay, God will give us wisdom, skills, understanding, and direction to handle mammon and to live in God's richness and being loyal to God. The secret to handle mammon, this is what the secret is, and it's from the scripture, it's nothing that I have made. The secret to handle mammon is godliness with contentment. Write it down. That is the secret to handle mammon. What? Godliness with contentment. Godliness with contentment. Everyone say godliness with contentment.
Godliness with contentment.
Mm-hmm. Godliness with contentment. 1 Timothy chapter number 6. Let's go there. And verse number 4. Let's start from verse number 3. If anyone teaches otherwise, does not consent to the wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which accords which accords with godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words, from which come envy, strife, reviling, evil suspicions, useless wranglings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. From such withdraw yourself. Hallelujah. He's talking about teachers of the word of God, servants of God, so-called servants of God. What they suppose? Godliness is a means of what? Gain. That speaks a lot. Godliness is not a means of gain. Material gain. Mammonic gain. Material gain. So godliness, prayer is not a means of gaining things materially. You have to understand that. Fasting is not a means of gain. Walking in the word is not a means of gain. Godliness is not a means. From such teachers of the word, withdraw yourself, that always speak godliness as a means of gain. Come to the meeting, pray. You will get your breakthroughs. You will get this. I am not saying you will not get your breakthrough. Don't get me wrong. But only what their teaching is centered is gain, gain, get something, get something, get something, get something. From such people, withdraw yourself. I am not saying that. Apostle Paul writes that. Okay, he is writing that. So godliness is a mean of gain. From such withdraw yourself. Verse number 6. Now godliness with contentment is great gain. That is the revelation I want to start teaching. Godliness with contentment. Godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Now, I was asking God, Lord, how to explain that verse? Godliness with contentment is great gain. And God took me to the life of Abraham, to parts of his life, to teach me that revelation, so that I can teach the people of God of the secret of how to handle mammon is godliness with contentment. And we will see at Abraham's every step of Abraham's life, he was taught by God contentment. Okay, he was taught by God. If I start that, I will go for 2 hours. So I am just giving you a gist of it. Remember when Abraham was in lack, there was a famine, remember? At the altar of Bethel, he prayed there. So because there was a famine, he went to Egypt. And the Bible says he received wealth from Egypt. Okay? That is immature Abraham, but Abraham is going to be mature. But even in his sin, he saw the mercy of God. God saved him. God saved the wife. When he went to Egypt and lied to the king of Pharaoh of Egypt that this is my sister, even in his sin, Abraham saw God's mercy. And when he saw God's mercy, even in his mistake, something happened to Abraham. He understood that he made a mistake. He committed a sin. He went to Mammon. So the next time Abraham will not commit it. So the next time he came back to Bethel and he was praying at Bethel, what happened was there was a fight between Abraham's herdsmen and Lot's herdsmen. Okay, listen to me. There was another Egypt now calling Abraham again, but he did not listen to that Mammon or Egypt, because the Bible says that there was land before Lot and Abraham, and the land that was greener was the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, which were beautiful as the city and the nation of Egypt. It's there in the Bible. But Abraham this time did not choose Egypt. He said, you know what? The land is before you, Lot. Whatever you want to choose, you go. If you go to the right, I will go to the left. What is Abraham saying is, I made a sin by wanting more. But this time, I am content with what I have. I am content. So whichever you want to choose, you choose. I will be content with what I get. I will not fight you for property. I will not fight you for $100 to get $100 more out of you. That I am the eldest son. I should get more property from my father. That is the fight that goes on. Many of the prayer requests revolves under acquiring property. But Abraham changed. He is now content. He said, I am content. And that contentment you will see in Abraham throughout his life journey. So I am going to explain that godliness with contentment is the way to handle mammon. So you might have mammon, but you should show contentment. Whenever there is a chance to grab more, to get this, there is a scheme. Come on Saturday and Sunday and work more so that you will get overtime. But I said, no. I am content with my salary. I will not go and work overtime and miss the church and miss the meeting and miss going to the house of. I am content with what. I will not go into getting more. That is the way to handle mammon, because mammon at every point of your life, maybe every day, it will call you to get more. It will speak to you, get more. Do something to get more. But you said, nah. I am content. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What God has given you is more than enough for your livelihood, for you to enjoy and your family to enjoy, and for you to do the work of God. I'm telling you, be content in the current situation. Don't look at other people. No. I like them, like this, like that ministry, like that business. No. Be content in what you have and go slowly. That is the way you handle mammon. And I will come to the revelation in the coming sermon. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you for this time in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray in simple ways you teach us, continue to teach us wisdom, especially the way we should handle mammon. Lord, I pray especially, Lord Father, even as I taught your word about pride and about the spiritual leprosy. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, any person listening to my voice, Lord, to the word, Lord, hallelujah, having spiritual leprosy, Holy Spirit, convict those people in Jesus' mighty name, that, Lord, they will be humbled before you, and the chains that are holding them back to get in your kingdom and to depend on your word will break, Lord, that they will step into your presence. They will step into the place where you want them to be and break every pride, every spiritual leprosy be destroyed in the name of Jesus Christ. And Father, I pray in the mighty name of Jesus, that in the coming days that you will teach Christians. Lord, there are Christians who are doing business. There are Christians who are working in the office. There are Christians in different forefronts, Lord, in the business world, in the world, Father. Lord, and Lord, everything, Lord, that we do every day, money is involved, mammon is involved. But Father, it's very important for us to understand how to handle mammon. How to handle mammon, Father. And Lord, teach us that secret revelation, Lord, that Paul wrote, Lord, to Timothy, that godliness with contentment is great gain. Hallelujah. And do not make godliness as a means of gain, rather. Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, even as people listen to your word, let deliverance occur in their lives, Lord. Let chains break in their lives in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, you speak to them, Lord. You minister to them. Lord, people, Lord, I know that many of them may be listening in silence, Lord, in this meeting, but your word is working in their life, I know. Your word is working in their life, I know. In the name of Jesus, I believe in the power of your word. I believe in the power, Lord, of your word that comes out of your mouth, that is the source of our livelihood. Father, thank you, Lord. We give you the praise. We give you the honor, Lord. And once again, we thank you for all who are here, all who are not able to make it. Cover everyone with the blood of Jesus Christ. And we give you all the glory, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's shout, Amen.
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 Amen. Everyone say, godliness with contentment is the way to handle mammon. Everyone say that before we go into thine argument. Godliness with contentment. Is the way to
handle
man. Hallelujah. Okay, so meditate on that word, and you see, you will walk in the power and the spirit of God,